We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's Tuesday, December 13th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Goodwin. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart You, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We have the Tua versus Herbert Bowl that happened Sunday Night Football. We'll talk about all of that. We have so much to get to. Tom Brady. Gabe gets a gloat about Tom Brady's career. You have some college football, some Chiefs, all of that. All today, over under, Eagles, Lions. I mean, there's so much to talk about, Gabe, after week 14 of the NFL season. How are you doing? You're back home. You looked refreshed than I saw you last week. Your teams were up and down this week. You had a Heisman winner from your favorite college, man. You got a lot going on in your life.
Yeah, here's a question have for you. I'm going to give away one of the over-unders for later because I think it's just fun. It'll screw with your brain. Okay. I'll have you thrown off the whole episode now.
Okay.
All right. You have a few choices here. A year from now, Caleb Williams is a two-time Heisman winner, a national champion, the number one pick, all of the above or none of the above?
He's the number one pick.
Okay.
I think winning a Heisman is very hard back-to-back to do. There's naturally going to be regression in that USC team from the turnovers we talked about. Like, I just don't think they're going to have quite the season they're going to have. So I would say that he's not the back-to-back Heisman, even though he will be the first pick in the draft. And there's going to be a massive tanking effort from multiple NFL teams to get themselves Caleb Williams, who is absolutely fantastic. To me, it wasn't even a question of the Heisman. He was easily the Heisman in my eyes, and I'm glad he won. He was humble. Dude, we talked to him, you know, in Pacto Media Day all the way back in July, and, like, the vibe you get from him, like, I think he's a very humble kid. He gets it. He understands the job, right? He understands being a USC quarterback. He understands what that means. And I mean, how about Lincoln Riley? Lincoln Riley's coached six seasons, has had three Heisman winners and one finalist. He's had four quarterbacks. They ended up either winning the Heisman or were a finalist in his 6 years. He was the right choice for this. I loved his joke too about how the guys are playing the playoff and he wasn't. Like, he just gets it. He's a self-aware, very good football player. He will be the number one pick in the draft next season. But I hope this question doesn't distract us from why England lost to France, which is very important as we are a soccer podcast now, Gabe. We were texting back and forth about this.
Yeah.
How was the family handling this, man?
Well, you know, this is where it's very helpful for the kids to be Brit-ish, you know? Like, we leaned on the ish part this weekend. They had the kits that their grandparents sent them. They were all decked out with the three lions trying to root for England. But as soon as England lost, they go back to being American. So that's what's nice about that.
I just love having someone that sort of follows soccer that could text during games because I have no idea what's happening. I mean, I get the sport, of course, but like, and it was unlike you when you texted me during USC games. I was sober.
Well, you're doing it wrong. You're not supposed to watch soccer sober. Come on, Jeff.
Oh, you're not? Is that the only way to watch it? It's just like, I will say, okay, I obviously, we kid about soccer on this show. I've been watching the World Cup. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, I will, as someone, again, who is, I don't have the bandwidth to watch soccer for the next 4 years. But the games have been good, man. Like, the end of these games, the last 30 minutes, last 15 minutes, dude, second half of the games, fantastic. A lot of action, a lot of energy. It is kind of weird to me how, like, you cannot score for 70 minutes and all of a sudden score quickly and then just score quickly again. Like, it just, it always kind of, that's something about soccer I just don't under, like, why don't you do that the first 45 minutes?
Yeah. It takes, you have to have exactly the right set of things line up. These guys are so good that it takes like perfection on the offensive side and one minor screw up on the defensive side. Those all those things have to happen at the exact right time for them to score. It's just too precise. I mean, I prefer a less skilled game where you just kick it at the goal and get a rebound and score. You know, I feel the same way about hockey. Just smack it at the goal and somebody will get it in. Doesn't work that way at soccer.
That's what I feel too, right? Just smack the ball in, and let's see more goals. But we did see last night, Gabe.
Yeah,
a lot of goals from Justin Herbert of Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes, nice segue. So listen, this was like the Twitter Bowl. This game, this Sunday night game between Tua and Herbert, was basically, you know, Rocky versus Drago of the people we follow on Twitter. This was going to settle one of the longest and, in my opinion, stupidest debates that all of our buddies are involved in, you included. And, you know, resounding victory for Justin Herbert and the Herbert stands, and a real dump of a game for Tua. So that's very bad news for your boy, Emmanuel Acho. He's wearing it, as we know. He has been all over the Tua train. But a big win for Herbert, and maybe finally the end of this silly conversation about which of them is better. It's pretty obvious to me in the NFL, Herbert is a better player, right?
Yes, he's absolutely a better football player. And this is why discussing any position in this league, maybe outside of like wide receiver and corner, where you like you absolutely see it. It's easy to see who's good and who's not. Other positions require nuance, right? And when you look at the quarterback position and you look at Herbert and his size, his strength, his ability to make throws other quarterbacks can't make, to read a defense, to rip the ball, that throw, that 9-yard throw to Keenan Allen late in that game, like there are elite throws he makes throughout the game. But it's also worth noting that last night was, I believe, like the second time all season he had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams on the field for more than any sort of 10 plays. I mean, I think it was 40 combined plays all season long those two played on the field at the same time. He has an offensive line that is not good, right? They're good if they're healthy, but they're not healthy right now, right? He has a coach in Joe Lombardi on the offensive side of the ball who is atrocious, right? Like the coaching is bad. The play sequencing, a good play for the Chargers, like a 5-yard throw. Like, what are we doing? You have this guy with this monster arm, let it loose. On the other side, we have Tua. And it doesn't mean Tua's bad, okay? It doesn't mean he's bad. But in the offense he's in, it's a quarterback-friendly offense. Brock Purdy, we're going to get to him in a second. He played in this offense this weekend. It's a quarterback friendly. Jared Goff went to the Super Bowl in this offense. It's a quarterback friendly offense. Tua has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Tua has an upgrade offensive line. We came in the season saying, we don't know about Tua, right? We don't know if he's the guy. Upgrade coach, upgrade wide receiver, upgrade offensive line, much better. Next year, now this win maybe prevents Brandon Staley from moving on, but they need a new offensive coordinator. A new offensive coordinator, healthy wide receivers, better offensive line. Herbert's going to shoot right up to the moon as he should be. And I think that we realized that last night when they played next to each other, the difference is just the talent, right? And Tua has like one fastball. And if it's not working, and the Chargers defense did a fabulous job of shutting that down, he doesn't have a secondary pitch. Herbert has eight pitches, and we see it the entire game. And yeah, wins and losses are important. The goal is to win and lose, right? We'll really win, obviously. And Herbert has not done as much winning as Tua. And sometimes that is on him. But most of the time it's not. And I think it's fair to acknowledge that quarterback wins are great. It's good to win again, but not everything is because of the quarterback. In this case, I think we saw last night, and even if Tua was better, let's say in the game, it was very clear, Gabe, who the better player was. And it's Justin Herbert. I'm glad Herbert was 39 of 51 for like 367. And Tua, before garbage time, was 6 of 23 for 112 yards. And one of those was a 60-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill. So I'm happy. I like Herbert. I mean, I was one of the biggest Herbert stands coming out of the draft. So I'm happy I'm correct about that. And I think, again, new offensive coordinator, he'll get even better. But I think the story out of this game too, Gabe, is that defenses have figured out Tua. And we'll see what Mike McDaniel and Tua can do next.
Okay. Well, I want to just say for a second here that I like guys like Tua. I like guys who buck conventional wisdom and prove all you big brain people out there with all your cool stats and all your, you know, your beliefs about what a quarterback is supposed to be. I like when the guys who aren't that win. So I'm rooting for him. And I think he's better than a lot of people will ever give him credit. But what is the argument that someone like Acho, and I'm not trying to pile on Acho, he certainly had plenty of people bagging on him on Twitter today. What is the argument they're trying to make? Like, he's obviously good enough to be an NFL quarterback, but what?
He's making the argument you're making, that like, that winning is like, he's making that argument, which you sent a text the other day about, like, Tua is Tim Tebow, and who do you include in the text message? You're like, Tebow and
Vince Young,
and he's all the winners wrapped into one.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, I think, was probably on your list. It's like, he's all wrapped into one. And
I think I said Alex Smith, but all right.
Okay. I don't know who you tell me. It's like four guys with, you know, not the, I guess Caleb wouldn't be in that talent conversation. He's very talented. And yes, there is a quality to playing within a system, and there is a quality to not losing games, which a lot of quarterbacks look, again, I hate to go back to Brock Purdy because we're talking about it in a second. Brock Purdy was good yesterday. Wasn't great. The best thing he did was not turn the ball over, right? And not give the other team opportunity to have the ball. And Tua doesn't do that, right? Tua does not turn the ball over. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes in the offense. He does exactly what is prescribed to him in the offense. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we talk about the talent of a player, you can't overlook that there are limitations that Tua has. It doesn't make him a bad quarterback. It doesn't make him a great quarterback. He's just a good quarterback, and that's fine. But I think we saw yesterday that just physically, the quarterbacks aren't in the same stratosphere. And I think for Acho, his argument has been, well, Tua's a winner and Herbert's not. And here's why. And of course, look, the completion percent, like, the numbers were better for Tua this season, and they might end up better this season. But you have to take in consideration, again, the offenses they play in. Are you telling me that if Herbert played in the Mike McDaniels offense, he'd be the MVP. He'd be the MVP of National Football League. And it's okay to say, and again, just because we say one guy is elite in Herbert, to me, doesn't downgrade Tua's and the way he's played this season. I think that that's the way we often mess this up, right? As we say, because one guy's good, the other guy stinks. No. Tua's good, Herbert's better, and that's fine. It's okay to be that way. It's okay to talk about sports that way, where Tua's good, Herbert's better, and we can enjoy both these guys. We don't have to shit on one guy to praise another guy.
Okay, I buy all of that. Let me throw this at you, though. Part of what I was always told in the myth of Tom Brady, and yeah, I am bringing him in here, but I think it's relevant, was, you know, look, he can do what Belichick needs. He's good for the culture. He understands the playbook. He's coach's best friend. He wasn't, if people rewrote history, he was not a stats guy for his first three rings. He was
right.
He was stay out of the way, let the defense win the game, you know, make a few plays when we need you kind of quarterback. He became a stat guy much later. Isn't there something to be said when your team is, the star of this team is still the coach? Everyone's fallen in love with Mike McDaniel. I think he's incredible. I'd love to talk about him more. It's a coach-led team, a coach-led overhaul of culture on that, sure, that franchise. If the coach likes the quarterback and the quarterback fits with what he's trying to do, isn't that, it's hard to quantify, but isn't that the skill? Isn't that the thing we're identifying?
Absolutely. But a couple of things here. Tom Brady does not get credit for the arm that he has and still has. He isn't an exceptional thrower of the football. Tua's not.
Okay.
Again, and I hate to say this in like a way that sounds like, when I watched Tua throw last night, I'm like, okay, like the like, let's go. Like, the ball needs to get there quicker. Like there's no, like, zip on the ball, right? There's no, like, and maybe his ankle's hurt, which is I think maybe some of the issues the last couple of weeks. But Tom Brady zips the ball in there. I think that also, too, like, your point about, okay, you run the offense, absolutely correct. But the throws that set guys apart are the third down throws, the red zone throws, and when you're under pressure, right? And Herbert nails all of those. And Tua sometimes does not. And Tom Brady has nailed those in his career. When the pressure's at the highest, Tom Brady has played well. Obviously, he's 45 now. We'll talk about him in a second. And that's, I think, what sets apart, I've said this for years now, the just kind of the good to elite. Go back to the Jimmy Garoppolo Niners Super Bowl, right? He missed two throws in the fourth quarter that win him the game. Those are the difference. Two throws a game, maybe one throw a game. Those are the difference. And right now, Tua has made those. He has in the last couple of weeks. But we know Herbert can make those throws. We've seen him do it. And he has the talent to do it. He did it last night.
Okay. Do you think either of these teams playing their best ball are good enough to make any real noise in the playoffs?
Well, Miami has to figure out this defense that the team's running against them. People much smarter than me have talked about this. Nate Tice being one of them. He broke it down pretty well today. Their teams are, the last 2 weeks, the Niners and the Chargers just run press man coverage, which is something that no one did the first 11 weeks of the season. No one ran man coverage because they're worried about Tyreek Hill's speed and Jalen Waddle's speed. But when they're pressing these guys, it messes up the timing in Tua's mind. And then he has to make throws he doesn't want to make. He was tearing his own up. When you play man coverage, you got a little different type of throw, right? It's a little different area you're throwing it to. Almost less anticipation, right? Because if you know the zone, okay, they're going to be right here. The runner's going to come right through here. I can throw it into that zone. Man coverage is not quite like that, right? And Tua doesn't run the ball. He ran the ball more yesterday, but he doesn't really make you pay when you play two-man. And the man I never would have thought man coverage would work against the Dolphins like this, but that's what teams are doing, and they got to find some man beaters. They got to find ways to get Tyreek Hill and Waddle into space against man coverage and allow Tua to get the ball out quicker and get in more of a rhythm. So I think either of these teams playing their best games is not good enough to win the AFC. However, the Chargers play their best game against the Chiefs. So like if they go to Arrowhead in the playoffs, I don't know what's going to happen. They could beat Kansas City. They play their best games each season against Kansas City.
Yeah. All right. Do you think the Dolphins would rather have McDaniel and Tua or Tom Brady and Sean Payton?
Oh, Tom Brady and Sean Payton.
I stunned you into silence with that Hank special there.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady. I was thinking about this year. I was thinking in my head like this year or next year. I think they'd rather have Tom Brady and Sean Payton.
Okay. Well, let's use that as the segue to Tom Brady. I've coined this the Brock over Brady, Purdy over Pretty. Old the Niners got the dub against the Bucks. I would say, even though I know they still technically lead the division with a losing record, I would say this is the end of the Bucs season, perhaps the end of Tom Brady's career. Let's cross our fingers. Jeff, I think you are more likely to see Tom Brady as your colleague soon than watch him in a Super Bowl ever again. Agree?
Yeah. They're not making a Super Bowl this year. God, they got their butts whooped. And even like when they had a good play, they had a holding on the left tackle, right? Like they scored a touchdown holding.
I loved that. God, that felt nice.
I mean, they're minus 30 in point differential. Same as the Panthers right now, who are now one game behind them and control their destiny because they've already beaten the Bucs and they play again this season. I go back to the coaching on this team. It's just not good. It starts with that. Todd Bowles, and I had high expectations for Todd Bowles this year. Wasn't good. Byron Leftwich, who I think did not get enough credit when Bruce Arians was there, maybe that rightfully so now, not good in offense. Tom Brady doesn't look comfortable. He looks miserable out there, which I'm sure breaks everyone's heart. The offensive line is very beat up. And defensively, that's supposed to be what they do. And Brock Purdy tore him to shreds yesterday. So it was a poor game for the Bucs. And look, they're probably winning the division. And they got to host the Cowboys most likely. Even this weekend, they have the Bengals coming to town. The Bengals are going to kick their ass. Like, the Bengals are playing good football. The Bucs are just not good. They can't score points. They have the least amount of second least amount of points in the NFC conference right now. They're at 224 points. The Rams are at 218. And the Rams are playing third stringers all over the field. They just can't score. They're just not a good football team right now. And there's a sense of, you know, that Tom Brady is going to go for the Niners next season. I wouldn't sign Tom Brady right now. Like, for next season, would you sign him?
Well, I would never sign him to any team that I had any say over.
I don't think Tom Brady's bad, but they're not playing good football right now.
Well, you're not going to get me to argue pro Tom Brady takes. I see that they're not playing great football. I'm happy to see him go. Two thoughts here. One, maybe the NFL should look into, if no one in the division has a winning record, you don't automatically get a division winner. Let's just put another wild card team in.
Yeah.
That would be worth looking at, because this is getting stupid. I feel like many of the last few seasons have included a completely incompetent division putting a team in the playoffs that shouldn't be there. So let's look at that. Two, I think the dream, that the supposed dream Tom Brady has of going to San Francisco got screwed up by two people this week, Brock Purdy and Baker Mayfield, who we're barely talking about. But I think that's his competition right now, not to mention Trey Lance. Like, I think this is it. I don't think there's anywhere for Tom to go.
Well, the Brock Purdy thing, look, let's wait a couple more weeks before we make him the Niners starter for next season. Even though, obviously, the Niners have tried for years to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo, and maybe this is the actual time they can finally do it, right, is Brock Purdy. And he was good yesterday, not great, but he completed the first pass outside the numbers that went for an explosive gain all season for the Niners. So he had that element to it, that they ran the ball well, the offensive line played well. Remember, Shanahan is such a quarterback-friendly offense. Like, it's just a lot of fun to watch this offense. And you know, he mentioned this week that going from Jimmy G to Brock Purdy wasn't as big of a difference from Trey Lance to Jimmy G. And that was looked as a shot against Jimmy G. I think it's more just scheme-wise. They run the same offense with Brock Purdy. And again, those special moments I talked about, third down, behind in a game, you know, the Niners were big the entire game. I think we still need to kind of see that from Brock Purdy at some point this season. But he played well. And the Niners are playing good football. Their defense is absolutely incredible. And I think right now they're the only team in the NFC that I think can give the Eagles a really tough go of it in the playoffs.
Okay. And is there something about that matchup that you think gives them the advantage, or just that they have looked very good on balance?
Well, they can play defense and they can run the football. Like, I think those,
but it's not an Eagles specific point. You're just saying, no, the Niners look very good.
Yeah, it's not an Eagles specific thing. I didn't deny it. Like, is it the Cowboys? I don't think it's the Cowboys that's the team that can compete against them. So to me, it's the Niners, because again, their ability to kind of take, you know, make you very uncomfortable on offense, and it speeds up the process. Typically, it makes your quarterback kind of jumpy in the pocket, and then when you get behind in a game, it just kind of magnifies everything and amplifies everything. It's just tough to, I think, to get things going against the Niners. It really is.
Did you see the kid from the Niners who picked off Brady, Dre Greenlaw, went up to Tom and asked him to sign the ball that he had picked off?
Yeah.
And Tom actually did it. And that's surprising to most of us. But here's the funny part. Greenlaw apparently said, "You're the greatest ever. I've been watching you since I was 2 years old, man." Isn't that the greatest diss by a player ever? Since I was two.
When you were talking about Tom Brady's early career, early in the show, I was thinking to myself about, like, thinking of throws he made during that time. And I realized I was in high school.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember Tom Brady, like, a throw from really until the 07 Super Bowl. Like, that's kind of the first time I remember really paying attention to Tom Brady just as, like, a fan. Was like, oh, they're playing the Giants at Super Bowl. I'm going to watch it. Like, and I watched football. I was a big sports fan. I was a Niners fan as a kid. Like, I wasn't watching a ton of Patriots football. He's been doing it for that long. And he just looks, obviously, he looks frustrated. He looks tired. And it looks like he's not having any fun. And maybe the fun next year comes back and playing for the Niners. But at this point, why? Like, why would you want to do that?
I have no idea what motivates this guy anymore. It's hard to tell. Maybe he'll make a career shift and go play on the LIV tour or something. What does this all what does this all mean for Baker? Because, you know, the obviously that unbelievable game out of Baker was last Thursday. I think most of the shows have already given all their takes. That's why we're not spending as much time. But Baker obviously has to have his eye on a starting job somewhere. If he finishes the season strong for the Rams, it doesn't seem like he stays in L.A. So what's the best case scenario for him in all of this? And how does it impact, you know, Tom's options?
Are we sure he's not going to stay in L.A.? Is Matt Stafford going to play next year at his age with his injuries?
You're saying he's walking away from $100 million?
Well, I don't know what his
I believe he has 4 years and $100+ million left. Three of 4 years. Hank will help. Okay, Hank will double check me. But I looked it up because I thought, oh, maybe Matt Stafford just sort of fades into the distance and Baker takes over. I don't think so. I think he's got a lot of money on the table.
So next year I don't think so. Next year he's only it's really in 2024 when he makes all the money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, they structured it so that he could come in and win for them. It worked. It was brilliant. The front office gets a lot of credit. But now they got him. And I don't see why if he's healthy year, I don't see why he'd go anywhere.
That's a good point. So his yearly cash is $27 million. It was $61 million this year, $27 million next year, $31 and $32 million. And he really can't get out till 2020. Oh boy. Oh boy. All right. Well, never mind on that. by the way, Mayfield has to play well, by the way, for the next 4 weeks for this to matter, right? And we'll find out as we go. But the Mayfield story, look, I think that anyone who likes sports roots for comeback stories like Baker's story. He played well the last 5 minutes. He deserves all the love he gets. But this goes back to coaching, man. Sean McVay has got the most out of Jared Goff, out of Matt Stafford, out of Baker Mayfield in 40 hours, out of anyone that plays that offense. He gets the most out of them. And Baker Mayfield has played for many different coaches at many different offenses. The two he succeeded the most, are McVay offenses, right? I mean, are Shanahan offenses, right? Kevin Stefanski, and now very shortly with Sean McVay. If I were Baker Mayfield, I would only play in those offenses if I were him. I would find either as a backup or a starter the rest of my career, only those offenses. If he plays well for these four games, Gabe, I don't know who signs him. Like, look around the NFL. Teams are pretty set at quarterback unless you're going to draft a quarterback. And I don't know which team would want Baker Mayfield when it's kind of he's been typecast, right, into playing this offense and being good. Otherwise, he's been poor. And I don't think that teams are going to jump at him like they did this past offseason.
All right, can I throw I hear you loud and clear on the coaching and what it can do for a quarterback to be in that offense. I'm sure that's right on balance. But doesn't it sort of seem like Baker, I'll just say Lincoln Riley quarterbacks and guys like Baker do best when there's no time for a playbook? Like the plays that Baker made on that drive were not, they weren't because of some brilliant scheme. Yeah. Everyone knew what he was trying to do. He just threw a perfect ball two or three different times. And he didn't know a playbook. Like, he had three plays to pick from, and he executed every one of them. It's just the guy can play.
I'm with you there. My pushback on that would be they only scored 17 points. Like,
because he was running plays the whole game. But they just let him do Baker stuff. You'll lose a few games that way.
You have to have some structure in the offense. It doesn't work like that. You can't just do Baker stuff. You know, I've seen this idea, by the way, that, well, the Rams should just have run 2 minute all game because he worked well in 2 minute. Or Tampa Bay, by the way, is great in 2 minute. Just run 2 minute all game. Guys, you can't do that for a couple of reasons. You just mentioned one of them, Gabe. He has like three plays. It's really more like eight plays in 2 minute. You get figured out after a while. You can't keep running the same eight plays over and over again with two protections for the most part. Secondly, it's tiring. You don't dress enough players to have them run all that. Right, you dress five wide receivers, six wide receivers. In college, you dress 12 wide receivers, right? You dress eight offensive linemen, 9, 10 in college. You have running backs. You have four running backs. In the NFL, you don't have enough guys to run that offense for 60 minutes. Plus, in the Chip Kelly's last year in Philly, when they were running the up-tempo offense, the Eagles defense played two extra games worth of reps.
Right.
Because if your offense goes three and out, then your defense is back on the field right away. And it's why you can't do that full time. You need structure in an offense. I did find it funny that, did you see during the game, they put that play call on the screen? The long word of
play call? Oh, yes, 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 yes.
I think McVay was just trolling everybody. That's like not, he just might have messed everybody. But the reason why structure is important is because when you have an offense that's multiple, and by multiple, I mean multiple formations, multiple personnel groups, you want to be able to move guys around different positions and easily do that. And that's the reason for the verbiage, right? Because if you lay out everyone's individual job, you know, deuce right, F this, Y that, Z this, H this, then if players switch different positions, like one time the wide receiver is an F, next play he's the Z. He just listens. I'm the Z this play. Okay, Z go. Got it. Done. If you don't have structure, game, then you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to be in one formation all game, and you're going to have the same personnel grouping all game. So there's the importance of those long calls. Again, I think McVay was mostly trolling everybody because the first one had Z doing three different things, which is not what of this reality. But nonetheless, that's why you do it. Is you say, so if you move guys around, you have guys that are injured, come in the game. Okay, I'm the F on this play. All I listen to is what the F does. That, I think, is the reason why structure is important when you talk about, you know, offensive design.
All right, but then doesn't that also mean maybe what helped Baker is that he had a bunch of scrubs out there with him who are like, fine, I'll be the Z and I'll do that thing that you just said. I'm Ben Skowron, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'll just do whatever the hell you tell me to do, as opposed to some of the guys he's played with who might have said, yeah, man, I'm pretty good at this. I'm not going to do exactly what you just said. I'm going to do me. And maybe Baker is the personality. Maybe he needs to just be a leader and be surrounded by a bunch of nobodies.
Not going to win any games doing that.
I don't know. Ben Skowronek looked pretty damn good. Jefferson made a couple plays for him.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't any good.
Tutu Atwell. The Raiders also might just absolutely stink. So that's also a part.
Well, the Raiders do stink, and their coach is ridiculous. And that's for another day why that guy still has a job.
Well, but how about this? Next year, Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels, Las Vegas.
I mean, God. That'd be like watching, you know, like these bands that.
Yeah.
You'd be like, you guys are back together. Like, I thought a few of you guys were dead.
Gabe, how many stars go to Vegas for their last, like their last hurrah, their last performances, the residency?
We're watching Britney do it.
She's in Vegas right now.
Didn't she?
My wife shows me her Instagram sometimes. Oh boy.
Careful.
She is.
She's got control of that Instagram now. Look what we've been missing out on.
It's quite unique what's happening there. We try to get some Taylor Swift concert tickets for Vegas, and it is expensive. Oh boy, I don't make enough money for that. He's going to have a residency in Vegas for a year or two.
Okay. Let's talk about the team that I've been giving you a pass. I've been trying to ease you into this because I think this is going to hurt. What the hell happened with the Chiefs? I swear to God, I turned the game off. I was like, this is the dumbest game I could possibly watch. The Chiefs are up 27-0 against the Broncos, who are terrible. I didn't look at the game. And then I had to read notes in a rundown to realize, no, they blew the game. They made this thing close. Picks. He made it a one-score game against a backup for Denver. I mean, how the hell do you let that happen? After the whole first half was just the Twitter plays from Pat, how do you let that become a game? That's got to scare you.
This is the Chiefs. I said this on the podcast with Matt the other day. This is the exact game I thought they would play. They always do this. It's a problem. This is why they're having trouble being the Bengals and Bills right now, is because when you play like this against those teams, you lose. When you play against us like the Broncos, you're going to win because the Broncos aren't very good. The first half was fantastic. The first 26 minutes, they're 27-0. Pat looks great. Defense had a pick six. Defense was playing well, sacking Russell Wilson. They allowed 14 points in the last 5 minutes of the first half. Then allowed a touchdown after the half. It's now 27-21. and then kind of had to return it back on. Pat wasn't good in the second half of this game. But this is what the Chiefs do, and this is why I'm a little concerned about them in the playoffs. Not offensively as much as defensively, Gabe. They're 25th right now in defensive efficiency.
Mm.
They're not good. Now, some of that is young. They're playing four rookies. But they don't tackle well. They don't rush the passer terribly well. The one year Mahomes had an average defense, Kansas City finished 14th in DVOA efficiency. In 2019, they won the Super Bowl. They don't need a great defense, Gabe. They just need an average defense, and they are far from average. They allowed the best offensive game for Russell Wilson of the season, for the Broncos of the season, and their defense worries me a lot. Like I think that's the reason why they might not make it back to Super Bowl this year.
Well, they've got four regular season games to get some reps in and tune this team up.
They're going to win all four.
At the Texans. Okay, well, so there you go. At the Texans, they host the Seahawks, which is looking like an easier win than it would have a few weeks ago. Then they're home against the Broncos. That's a rest. And then they're in Vegas for the Raiders, who at that point should have hung it up, and I assume will have an interim coach. So you think they go 4-0? Do you think they can work on anything or improve anything in that time? Or are we just going to go to the postseason with a below-average defense?
Okay, so people get upset at the defense corner of Spagnuolo, and I get it. And I think there is some blame there. But a lot of times guys are in position to tackle and just don't. I don't know what a defense coach could do about that in week 14. Like, you're in position. Go make a play. Make a tackle. You know, the youth, obviously, you can get a little bit more reps under your belt, but you're not playing good teams either. So, like, playing well against the Texans, Raiders, and Broncos doesn't give me confidence. You should. I hope you play well against them. Seattle's, you know, offensively a little bit better. Obviously, if their running backs come back, they're in a better shape than they are now. So, to me, Gabe, great. Like, awesome that you play well in those games, if you do. But then you're going to play the Bengals and Bills in the playoffs, and are you good enough to stop any of those offenses?
Yeah. The Bills don't look great. I'm here to say.
No, the Bengals, I'm going to say the Bengals should be the favorite in the AFC right now. They're playing the best. Yeah, they're playing the best football right now in the AFC.
Cool. Well, I'm going to use that as a little segue. We'll take a break. Okay. We'll come back. I have a very controversial question to ask you about the quarterback of the Bengals. Yeah, we'll do that on the other side.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, Jeff, we're back. Let's move the line. I'll start with the one I just mentioned before break. Over under 20% chance Joe Quiet is better than Joe Cool. I haven't heard a single story or peep from Joe Burrow all season long, and they look very scary.
What do you mean? Like, you think he's better just being like, you said that?
No,
you said that text yesterday.
Stop wearing the stupid designer glasses and the little flip in the hair and all this. You know, cool. I'm Mr. Cool, and the stupid cigars. All the dumb shit that he was doing last year, which I think got a lot of people to kind of game up for him. He's just a good quarterback now who I don't hear from. That's my theory.
I did not understand your text yesterday, but now I do.
Ah.
You sent that to me. I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. Cause it was like Sunday Night Football. Who's Joe? No idea. Mm. I am generally with you on the concept of, I would prefer you let your play do the talking. And I didn't think about this till now. You're right. But I think Joe would be good either way, whether he was like out there or not. But yeah, I think it's always good if you can kind of be a quiet assassin more than a loud, you know, a loud nobody, basically.
Yeah. I mean, because he hadn't, not that he necessarily was begging for all that attention, but God, it seemed like last year was just
less this year.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, he's good. He's getting treated like Justin Herbert is, where people are like, he's really, really good. I don't know. What else are we supposed to say about that? You know, like he's in that category.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for him, he doesn't have, I'll call him Heisman moments, right? Like Pat Mahomes had that Heisman moment yesterday, right? Where he's running down the right sideline, or not the right sideline, but running toward the right sideline and flicks that pass to McKinnon for a long touchdown. Jalen Hurts certainly has those moments during games. Joe Burrow's just good. He doesn't really have like, the throw to win the beat the Chiefs at the end was fabulous. But there's not like that SportsCenter top 10 throw each week. And again, Bengals fans, Joe Burrow is a top three quarterback in the NFL. There's nothing against Joe Burrow, okay? I'm just saying that I think this is why there's a little more kind of quietness when it comes to how we perceive Joe Burrow versus like a Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen.
Yeah. Well, one guy you just left out of your top three is probably the MVP favorite. I mean, he is the MVP favorite according to Vegas right now. So what are the odds Jalen Hurts wins the MVP over Pat and the bunch? Over under 33.5%.
If the Eagles win out, I would say over. I think there's a good chance he wins the MVP. I mean, and really, it's not because Mahomes doesn't play well or anything. It's just to me, it's just when you go 16-1 and you play the way you have as the quarterback of that 16-1 team, it's going to be really hard for Mahomes to win that award. It's almost getting the point where you get a little bit of like the LeBron, where LeBron's the best player in the NBA for so many years, just doesn't win the award.
Yeah.
Mahomes is the best player in football. It doesn't mean he's going to win the MVP award every year. And I think if Hurts goes 16-1, he's very deserving of that award. And it doesn't take away anything from Pat Mahomes, but Eagles are playing good football right now. And if they win out, and they still have the Cowboys after the schedule, I believe, so that's a tough matchup. The Cowboys, Saints, Giants, I mean, there's a good chance they win out. And if they do, then I think Hurts will win the award.
All right, let me ask you this, because I was going back and forth with a few people over the weekend on this. And I don't know much about Nick Sirianni. I've paid closer attention to Mike McDaniel. I'm going to put them both in the category of guys who seem like regular dudes, seem to be enjoying their jobs, talk to the media, and it seems like they're players the way we would talk to our friends. Surely they know the game.
Yeah.
But they have like normal human being emotions instead of what was very popular for the last 20 years, which is to be like Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah.
Is the success of Sirianni and McDaniel, but so much as it's success so far, going to take over? Are we going to see more human beings be good coaches?
Yes, because younger coaches act like McDaniels and Sirianni. It's younger.
You think there are a
coaches.
Lot of like right now, you know, guys who are still one job away from the big job who are going to get that chance?
Oh yeah. I mean, DeMarco Ryan to the Niners is going to get a job. He can't be older than 40, right?
Okay.
I don't think he is, right?
So do you think that I guess that's the smarter question then. Do you think that this next offseason or the next few off seasons of hires are going to skip?
DeMeco Ryans. I'm sorry. DeMeco Ryans. He can't be older than, how old is he? He's 38. Like he just retired in 2015.
Yeah. Like, do you think we're going to just skip that tier of like the, oh yeah, that guy, he's been a coordinator for 100 years, like, and just get past that and get right to the young guys?
Yes.
I hope so. Yeah.
DeMeco Ryans is going to be a coach this season somewhere. It'll be the third straight year, I think, a Niners assistant became a head coach somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen Robert Saleh's good coach and Mike McDaniel's good coach. And we're going to have this whole Kyle Shanahan tree. DeMeco Ryans, I would imagine, is the same sort of style of coach. Now, I also think I think offensive coaches tend to be a little bit more personable as far as when we see like kind of what you're talking about. That's just their nature on offense versus kind of defense is more of that kind of tough-minded, like, it's hard to explain, but like there's just like this, you know, the weatheredness of a defensive coach versus an offensive coach is kind of just more free a little bit. It's kind of the difference in coaching styles. But I think we're going to see younger coaches take over and continue to, and they're having success too, which is important. And we're seeing, by the way, college football too. And we're seeing young coaches everywhere. And even Dion, who's not young, talks like a young coach, acts like a young coach, right? Like, I think that's the style of coach that connects most with players now.
Yeah. All right. How many games do the Cowboys win in January if they sign Odell Beckham Jr.? Over, under 1.5.
It doesn't matter at all. He's not, first of all, he very clearly is not ready to play football yet. I mean, the Cowboys, I don't know why they leaked it out there, but he's not healthy. He's not, and you heard him on the, what's that show they do on Monday Night Football, whatever that
the
show.
The Shop. I watched some of The Shop. Yeah.
You did. I didn't think you were going to be an audience for The Shop. How was it?
I wanted to see what it was like. It was cool.
It was good.
Okay. It looks great. I mean, they get cool people on there. It's a lot looser and less about football than the Manning cast. But you know, if you don't care much about the teams playing and you like some of the guests they bring in, it's a good show.
Who's on this week besides Odell? Was there a good, like, there's a guest you're looking at?
Well, Cam Jordan was like their main talker.
He's good, yeah.
Yeah, he was very good. Obviously, Maverick Carter was there. There's a comedian whose name I'm forgetting who was good. A rapper, anyone who pays attention to hip-hop who listens to the show is going to mock me for not knowing who it was. But I think it was YG. Is YG the guy? His career sort of linked to Nipsey Hussle, right? I think it was YG. And maybe one other player came through. I don't know. It was just like a different vibe, and it was fun.
Speaking about Odell, as we're talking right now, the Cowboys have signed a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah?
T.Y. Hilton.
What?
So the old culture. So this takes Odell out of it. Odell will not be a Cowboy.
I mean, I don't know if that means anything, but all right, fair enough. Let me slide down the rundown to this question. Who would you rather play in January? The Lions or the Vikings? Obviously, we saw them play each other this weekend. Yeah. Which one scares you more in the postseason if they both get in?
It's a great question.
Oh, thank you.
Good job, Hank.
Nope. I know it pains you to know that. Hank did not write that question. That is me doing my job.
Oh, what? That's an upset for today.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. I would say the Lions scare me more as a team, but I think the Cousins, Jefferson, Thielen is a little bit better than Goff. And that would, like, and I know Cousins has not played well in these moments in his career. But if you need a touchdown to end a game in the playoffs, you need that big throw to be made. I trust Cousins more than Goff. And sometimes that's what it comes down to in the playoffs.
All right. Let's say you need a big catch to be made.
Oh, Jefferson.
You're going to Jefferson or Penei Sewell?
Penei Sewell. Dude, the Lions are absolutely... So I ragged on Dan Campbell, as we all did, like a month ago. They were 1-6. They were bad, or 1-5. They started bad, and they've been much better, obviously. So I'm sorry, Dan Campbell. I doubted you. You've been great. It's 3rd and 7. The Lions are up 8 with 2 minutes left. They take their right tackle, Penei Sewell, and put him in the slot as a wide receiver. They motion him from the left back to the right, snap the ball. Mind you, 3rd and 7, up 8 with 2 minutes left. Snap the ball, run a bootleg, and throw the ball to the right tackle for a first down to win the game. 3rd and 7, the Lions threw the ball to a right tackle. It's like a big, like, F you to the Vikings, right? Like, it's the best. This is, like, clearly Penei Sewell can do both. He can catch and he can block. Clearly, this Penei Sewell Jamar Chase debate is over. It has ended now. Penei Sewell, clearly the best option for that draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Acho is the only person who might say otherwise, but...
I keep waiting because as we're recording this now, Acho's on. I'm kind of waiting for is he going to go all in with some random thing about Tua today, or is he going to just admit he was wrong and move it along?
No, there's no chance it's B.
I wonder, I was joking with him the other day. I've known Acho for quite a while now. We did Broadcast Boot Camp together. So we went through this together. I was asking, is the Dolphins giving you an NIL deal? Are you getting getting paid by the Dolphins? He was at the game, obviously, He went to Dolphins practice. They were in Los Angeles this week. They stayed on the West Coast after playing the Niners. Did you see, by the way, the Chargers denied him a sideline pass?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. It's like a real thing. Like, people are like, and what's crazy is we're doing exactly what Ocho wants, obviously, which is making a big fuss about what he said. But he started this entire social media, you know, again, 2% of the country tweets, right? Like, this small fraction of the country arguing about football and Tua versus Herbert because, you know, there's like, I don't want to argue about what Elon's doing right now. I'd rather argue about what Tua and Herbert. We're just taking our time up arguing about Tua and Herbert because of Ocho.
It seems pretty harmless to me. And you know what?
It's just harmless fun. Yeah.
You know what? Like, I don't really know Ocho very well. I have worked with him a tiny bit. I've met him once or twice. Obviously a nice guy. Obviously a very smart guy. I don't have any idea if the level to which he believes all of what he's saying, but I know that the people around him, the people who he could look to see how it's done in that building, his colleagues, they believe the things that people think are crazy. And that is why they stick with those things. And that is why he will stick with this if he believes it.
Well, he just tweeted out that he's going to issue an apology today.
Well, I would not advise that. I think he's gonna pull a WWE move.
He'll do the Nick Wright. He'll say he's apologizing and then throw the apology out and say, "Screw you guys, go Chiefs."
I think he's gonna do an apology for all of you who ever thought that I might change my opinion about this. So I'm sorry.
The Nick Wright apology, yeah. which is fantastic. By the way, speaking about shows on Fox, and obviously I work for Fox, but the Shannon and Skip thing from today, oh my God, it is great television. Like,
I didn't even see it.
Skip basically told Shannon Sharp that his career was worse than Tom Brady and he stinks. And it was like, and people are taking it way too seriously on the internet. Like, guys, it's a TV show. It's entertainment. Huh. And Shannon got rightfully, you know, like, they went back and forth, dude. It was great television. And people are making way too much of it, of course, because why would, you know, their job is to be entertaining, and they're entertaining. Basically, to the friend Tom Brady, Skip was like, "You suck. Tom's better than you. Who do you talk?" And Shannon was like, "I made the Hall of Fame." But like, his crowd's great. Good TV. Very entertaining. Best part was Shannon took his glasses off to argue, and Skip said, "Put your glasses back on."
Listen, Skip treats every Monday morning like, you know, NFL players treat their Sunday. He's deadly serious about this debate, man. He believes that is his competition, and he prepares for it to win.
Yeah. Dude, it's 6 a.m. on the West Coast. These dudes are in a full-out screaming match on television. And normally, I'm not a fan of, like, the screaming back and forth television. I think this is pretty good. I think it's a good, it's
there's no debate. Those two are terrific at what they do. Steven is also very good at what he does. Like, some people are just, that's the way they communicate. Those guys are good at it. So let me throw this question at you. This would not make it onto one of those shows, but we're talking about, you know, sticking to things you say and believe. Silly question. If Kylian Mbappe played for the Chiefs,
yeah,
over under 75 catches in a season.
How big is he?
Looks big enough. I mean, we can Google it. I don't know. He's a pretty big dude.
Obviously, he's very fast. I mean, we know that.
His footwork, right? Is incredible. Yeah, he would get off the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say he would have a lot of catches. He's good. He's a good athlete. It was fun watching that game the other day.
He's listed at 5'10".
Oh, really?
But he looks a lot bigger than that. Unless everyone out there is tiny.
Wait, Hank has 5'10", 161? That's it?
Yeah, he looks thicker than that.
Maybe not. Maybe we're all wrong. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that would make him bigger than Marvin Harrison, I think.
Yeah, but you gotta get a hit. Like, you're gonna get hit in the NFL. And I will say, it's been nice to see less flopping as the games have gone deeper in the World Cup. Like, far less just outright, like, laying on the ground with, "You're totally fine."
I this will sound very xenophobic. I don't know, American, I guess. we flop less. We're not as good. We're not as good.
We absolutely do flop less.
We flop less, and I'm proud of that.
We also shoot less too, which you could argue.
We win less. We're not as good, but we do not flop as much as the other teams do.
I agree with you. I've noticed that. I didn't want to tweet that because, you know, soccer people, they're no, very protective of their sport. Who do you got? So we got Morocco and who we got? Morocco, France, Argentina, Croatia. I didn't know Croatia was good at soccer. They have like the size of Connecticut. Who's winning? Who's taking it home?
Well, it certainly seems like it's going to be France, Argentina. And I would think France would be a slight favorite in that game, but there'll be plenty of intrigue. I don't even have an answer. I have no idea. I mean, Morocco keeps beating countries that they have beef with, right? So the Spanish certainly look down on Moroccans. I would assume Portuguese are the same way. And I'm guessing the French, who look down on everyone, look down on Moroccans. So this will be a lot of energy in this one for the Moroccans. I think it's proof that a 12-team playoff is going to be great for college football, because Morocco has no business being there, but they are, and they've just beat two of the world's best, and they're going to scare the crap out of people in the next matchup too. So that's just fun.
The bosses at Fox are rooting for France, Argentina, right?
Of course, yes.
Yeah. Okay. A Messi. What's his name again?
Kylian Mbappe.
Mbappe. Yeah. I mean, Mbappe, Messi would be a great way to finish out, right? It's NFL Sunday morning too. It's Sunday at 10 a.m. is the championship. Oh wait, there's a loser game too on Saturday. That stinks to play in a loser game.
Loser game sucks.
Yeah, the loser game stinks.
I mean, it's probably probably matters. Like if Morocco wins the loser game, I bet it's the biggest thing that ever happened in Moroccan soccer. But
yeah, they'd be third. You'd be great. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So all right, everybody, that's enough soccer, enough football for everyone. Matt and I had a bad week. We need to come back. It was bad week. We're going to bounce back, guys. So stay tuned for the rest of the week. We'll get our wager. It'll be a day late, I believe. It'll be in Los Angeles recording in person with Matt. It'll be a lot of fun. Hope you guys enjoyed. Please rate, review, subscribe. Powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. Talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take care.